This is KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:04 a.m. Welcome to the coffee table. Guests are Borough Assembly members, Willie Dunn. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for having us.
And Borough Assembly President Kelly Cooper. Kelly Cooper, are you there?
I am. I don't know what happened to my app, but I'm on the line.
Okay, well, it's good to hear you. I'm going to start with Willie Dunn. Thank you both for being here on the coffee table this morning to talk about issues for Borough Assembly. First thing to tell everyone is if you have any questions, you can call. Matt is standing by on the phones, 235-7721. Or you can email questions to info@kbbi.org so that Assembly members Dunn and Cooper can address your questions. Assembly member Dunn, let's start with coming up at the next assembly meeting, there's a vote by mail ordinance. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We, we've been studying this issue for well over a year. The borough, we have a lot of issues going on with our voting system. Our hardware is old and out of date, and we needed to do something there. And we also, last year, actually in 2018, we had to address a concern from a voter with disabilities about access to the polls, and entered into an agreement with the Alaska Human Rights Commission to improve our access for voters with disabilities. So in 2019, we got together a group of election stakeholders, government officials, clerks from all over the borough, from the different municipalities, as well as members of the public, a couple of assembly members. Here in Homer, we had the local city clerk, and we had a representative from the city council on the group. And, you know, the take home was, we need to do something to address the issues, and the unanimous recommendation. There were a number of recommendations, but one of them was that we switch to a hybrid vote-by-mail system. So that ordinance was introduced, and we'll have a public hearing on that ordinance next Tuesday.
So that's coming up at the next meeting for public hearing.
June 2nd, this coming Tuesday, and that will be at 6 p.m. Of course, you can hear it on KBBI, or you can go online to participate and comment online at the Kenai Peninsula Borough website.
And Kelly Cooper, you want to introduce any information about the vote by mail ordinance? Kelly Cooper, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. So go ahead.
I would like to make sure that the public understands that this is a hybrid of vote by mail. There's a lot of misinformation out there with folks thinking that it's a forced vote by mail only, and people would have the opportunity to vote at black polling stations throughout the borough. There won't be as many, but they would still be available to go to the polls on the day of election, just like they've always been able to. And then we'll also have the vote by mail. And we do have a couple of districts that have been doing mail-in ballots for several years, and they have a much higher voter participation. And I have no concerns about the security of this. It's been proven all over the country that vote-by-mail fraud is negligible, and it's really a great way for us to get more people to participate in voting.
Yeah, I'm also looking at studies that say it increases or can increase voter turnout, and that it doesn't seem to favor any party or any ideology.
Yeah, that's correct. The states that have gone to vote by mail and the municipalities in Alaska, Anchorage has been doing it for two election cycles now, and they've noticed they've seen a significant increase in voter participation. Voter turnout is significantly higher in both those other states and in the municipality of Anchorage, and the demographics don't seem to favor one viewpoint or another. It's just overall increased participation, which I see as a bonus. The more people we can get out voting, the better our representation will be.
And I've been seeing some things. Anchorage has been doing this for a while, and they have a system for counting. And will the Kenai Peninsula Borough run into any problems in terms of counting? And
Well, our ordinance that we'll be discussing next week addresses the methods to be used for counting. There are some necessary upgrades we'd need to do with certain types of technology as far as handling envelopes and counting ballots. And a big one is signature verification. There's actually software and hardware that is used to verify that the person submitting the ballot, that the signature matches their signature on their voter registration in the database that the state provides us. So there's a certain amount of equipment that's going to be needed and training, and the municipality of Anchorage has agreed to help us with that if we go this route. So there's definitely going to need to be some investment in some technology.
Also, I know from my own experience of going into the bank that they informed me a couple of months ago that I needed to sign a new signature card because my signature had changed over the years.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. The signature verification is an important part of, preventing anybody from voting under a different name. So the state has quite an extensive database of valid signatures for voters. And I visited Anchorage to see how they dealt with that, and it's a really interesting process. The signatures are verified both by a combination of software and then trained individuals who will look at the signatures and compare them to the signatures on file.
Okay, thanks for that. The number to call is 235-7721 if you have any questions for your borough assembly members. Or you can email a question to info@kbbi.org. The next thing I'd like to bring up is, we'll get to the budget, because I know that's a lot. But not at the next meeting, but at the meeting after, there's the Resilience and Security Commission ordinance. President Cooper, can you talk a little bit about the Resilience and Security Commission ordinance to start?
I would be pleased to. So the Resilience and Security Commission was brought about by the comprehensive plan process. And throughout our comp plan that we approved, it suggested that we needed to have a Resilience and Security Commission to work with things like the food security and agriculture. So this commission will be an advisory commission. And what that means is they will be doing a lot of the heavy lifting for us as we look for better ways to operate on the borough. And then they'll make their recommendations to the Planning Commission, and then it'll come forward to the Assembly. But when we look at food security, we have a 30% increase in farm over the last 5 years on the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and our new land plan is talking about a agricultural designation where people can lease properties to do agriculture. And then if they find that that's an appropriate piece of property for them, they have the opportunity to purchase it, which is great. The municipality of Anchorage is also looking at saving $3 million in energy costs. And so what these folks would be able to do is they would be able to make recommendations on all of our properties owned by the borough as we do capital projects and refurbishing to save dollars on energy costs. We're also expecting, the 2019 Swan Lake fire, it cost $46 million to press. So if we can move forward with these resilience and security commissions, we can reduce those costs. And I'm just really excited about this commission. We have support from all of the cities on the borough. The city of Kenai, Boston, they will be addressing that ordinance next week. And I would just like people to understand that this is a wonderful thing. We'll be using less resources, saving money, and it's a wonderful project.
Thank you, President Cooper. Assemblymember Dunn, do you have some light to shed on that?
Sure. Yeah, Kelly did describe the basics of the commission. It would be a volunteer board or commission, and boy, we could go on for hours just talking about the needs there. But I think the important thing to remember, as Kelly mentioned, is that this will save the taxpayers money in the long run. We have
By building infrastructure for locally produced.
We could analyze the energy use of our buildings. The school district in Anchorage has identified $3 million a year potential savings in energy upgrades. We have the opportunity to do that. And we do that here in the Kenai Borough to a certain extent, but a commission like this could help look at the bigger picture and save money in the long run that way. We can divert waste from the landfill. We can promote composting, food composting projects at the landfill. We can, and we are in the process at the Central Peninsula Landfill of looking at a conversion of waste gas to electricity. So we could look at other projects like that, which would save money and reduce the outflow of methane gas. It would certainly, be a long-term look and a long-term project. But the areas of food security, landfills, energy efficiency, energy diversification is another big one that could result from this commission. It has the opportunities are endless.
And I have to ask, who appoints the commission?
The way the ordinance is proposed, the members would be nominated by the mayor and then approved or appointed by the assembly. And the desire would be that commission members would have an area of expertise in certain areas such as agriculture or landfills, those kind of things. And the other thing that this commission would look at is adaptations to our changing environment, our changing climate. That's a huge issue here. We've had increase in temperatures. Kelly mentioned the fire, the Swan Lake fire, which was devastating to the borough economy last year. Last summer, our neighbors over in Seldovia and Nanwalek literally ran out of water. The reservoirs dried up, and we were shipping bottled water across the bay to provide drinking water for Seldovia and Nanwalek. I mean, that is a huge issue that the commission would be looking at answers to those kind of things also.
And Assemblymember Dunn, those are across the bay. Are those your constituents?
The Seldovia, Nanwalek, Port Graham are all part of District 9, yes.
Yes, they mm-hmm. are. And so what can you update us on what the expectations are in terms of water for this season?
Well, fortunately in the fall, we had rainfall that replenished those reservoirs. And we don't know what the summer will look like. So providing contingency plans is really important. The Office of Emergency Management is actively monitoring and working with those communities to help them through. Unfortunately, with the fall rains also came big storms, which caused damage to infrastructure. There was
when you get all your rain at once, it's not a good thing.
Right. So, flooding is another issue, and flooding has been a perennial issue in the Seward area. So that's another area to look at. And by the way, the Seldovia City Council will be addressing a resolution tonight to decide whether or not to support the Resilience Commission. So I'll be participating in that online.
Okay, thanks to both of you. Kelly Cooper, anything you want to add to the Resilience and Security Commission ordinance? Is there a public meeting to be had yet, or are we voting?
We will be voting on the 16th, but there is one thing that I'd really like to add. We're always hearing from our constituents. They would like downward pressure on the budget, and they would like us to reduce costs. And a perfect example of where this commission will bring value, I'm a big fan of public-private partnerships. So there are federal grants that are available, and with our limited staff, it's hard to keep track of all of those. And so, for example, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has released a grant opportunity for up to 900,000. The floor is, I think, around 45,000. And the only ones that are eligible for this grant would be through local governments. And so with the commission being in place, they can partner with the borough, and we can apply for types of grants. And this grant is for composting programs. And the deadline for that grant application is the 20th of June. We'll be voting on this on the 16th of June. So I reached out to our borough grant writer and asked her to get started on the participation on that so we would be ready and be able to apply for that. And without that partnership with the borough and this commission, there's a lot of opportunities we would miss.
Okay, thanks. And you're listening to The Coffee Table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Guests are Borough Assembly members Willie Dunn and Kelly Cooper. If you have questions for your Borough Assembly representatives, call 235-7721 or email your questions to info@kbbi.org. And let's get to the budget, because there is a lot going on. First of all, I'll start with Assemblymember Dunn. A lot of the planning and decisions that have been made in terms of crafting the budget and building the budget must be up in the air right now, given all the changes that have happened through the school district and things that are going to happen for tourism over the summer. Can you talk a little bit about what the budget looks like now?
Sure, sure. It is a very difficult situation we're in budget-wise. I mean, who would have guessed, you know, 6 months ago that a virus we were just starting to hear about in China would have resulted in loss of millions of dollars of revenue to us in sales tax and other revenues. It came out of left field, out of the blue, and we're addressing it, you know, not only in the upcoming fiscal year 21 budget, but also this year, the current year's budget, we are having to adapt and having to deal with unexpected shortfalls. The sales tax revenues are, of course, they're reported on a quarterly basis. So we just got a hint of the drop in sales tax revenues from January, February, March. Just the second half of March, there was a significant drop in sales tax revenues from sectors of the economy like hotels and guiding and those kind of things. And we're expecting that to continue through the summer, obviously, with travel restrictions and quarantine restrictions from out-of-state travelers. So the hit to our sales tax revenue is just one concern. And that the way the borough budget is set up is 100% of our sales tax revenue goes to schools. So schools are going to be hit pretty hard with the drop in sales tax revenue. And there's a lot of pieces to this revenue puzzle, or the budget puzzle. We can go into details in certain areas, but the fact is that we are facing major shortfalls both in this existing fiscal year and next fiscal year. Fortunately, we have a healthy fund balance, a savings account, not really a savings account, but a balance of funds that we can dip into when needed. And that's the exact reason that fund balance is there. We try to maintain a $15 million or higher fund balance, and that will be needed both this year and next fiscal year to get us through.
So I'm going to stop you for just a moment and go to Borough Assembly President Kelly Cooper. I know we're about to talk about all the different parts of the budget, but can you briefly give people an idea of the size and scope of the budget? How much is the budget for the Kenai Peninsula Borough?
Well, our total budget for all areas is around $82 million. And that includes our service areas and our general fund and administration.
And so how much of that is, sales tax goes completely to the school district. How much is that how much was that last year or in the last few years?
Well, we typically sit at around $30 to $32 million in sales tax revenue. and we are expecting about a $5 million decrease for this current year coming down, and that's significant. These are all estimates, of course, but we're expecting around $28 million, I suppose, in sales tax revenue.
Okay, and I want to, we'll come back to this, but we have a question that's been emailed to info@kbbi.org. And I want to make sure that everyone who has a question gets access today, because access is a huge deal right now. Being able, we were just representative, I mean, Assemblymember Dunn and I were just talking about this, the difference when you can't just open up your doors and let people talk. So here is a question from Mary Griswold. And I'm going to ask, I'll start with Assemblymember Dunn and then ask President Cooper to weigh in. Mary Griswold is asking about Ordinance 2020-29, declaring the Kenai Peninsula Borough a Second Amendment sanctuary. Mary Griswold asks, what is the purpose or necessity of Ordinance 2020-29, declaring the Kenai Peninsula Borough a Second Amendment sanctuary? Assemblymember Dunn, I'm guessing you did not sponsor this ordinance.
That ordinance was sponsored by the mayor and Assemblymembers Bjorkman and Carpenter and Blakely. And I just learned of it yesterday. We just had our packet released, so that came out in our packet. And yeah, I was a little surprised to see that. I'm not sure what the need is for it. It would create an ordinance, an uncodified ordinance, which would declare the borough a Second Amendment sanctuary. However, it does not define what a Second Amendment sanctuary is. So
this is my question. What are the spaces where the Second Amendment doesn't apply?
Right. I don't know. We're going to be learning a lot more about it on Tuesday during our committee hearing. It's scheduled for a hearing in the legislative committee, and we'll learn a lot more about it then. So by the way, committee hearings are open to the public also. Right now we're doing those online via Zoom, so the public, we don't take public testimony during committee hearings, but the public can log on and learn more about. So I have lots of questions. Yeah, I'm going to be asking some questions about why this is needed and what
does
sanctuary mean? Yeah, that to me, that undefined declaration is raises lots of questions. So we have a lot more to learn about it.
And Kelly Cooper, can you do you have anything to add on Ordinance 2029?
Well, as Mr. Dunn said, this is just dropped in our lap. I saw that the title was going to be out there and that it was coming. But it appears that the goal of this resolution is to oppose the enactment of any legislation that would infringe upon the rights of law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms. So I believe that it is a... there's no meat in this resolution. I believe it is a statement that the... sponsors of this resolution are wanting to say to protect their Second Amendment rights and to prevent any other laws that are enacted on them from affecting the borough. But I have a lot of questions as well, and this was just dropped in our lap yesterday.
Also, I want to, if anyone is listening who could call in 235-7721 and give me a single example of anyone's Second Amendment rights being infringed upon in this borough, I want to hear about it. So if you have any information about that, please email info@kbbi.org or call 235-7721. And Assemblymember Dunn, I will definitely check back with you guys. But you said the legislative committee meeting is... that we'll be discussing this is when?
It's on Tuesday. The committees meet in the afternoon before the assembly meeting. The assembly meetings always start at 6 p.m., and the committee meetings this coming week on the 2nd, I think committee meetings start at 1 p.m., and I don't have the exact time in front of me, but I think the legislative committee meets at 4:30, but I'd have to double-check on that. So, again, yeah, the public is always welcome to participate in the committee meetings and learn more about that. And, you know, I just so folks know, I am a gun owner. I am a hunter. I've been a lifelong hunter, and I I've owned guns since I was a young boy, actually, and started shooting guns when I was probably 12, 13 years old, and I've been an avid gun owner, and I have no problem with private gun ownership. Responsible gun ownership is a valuable part of our heritage. But you know, I'm curious what a Second Amendment sanctuary means. I don't know if we're ready to become a sanctuary borough.
And President Cooper, anything else you'd like to add to all this?
Well, I would just like to add, I've been browsing these notes that just came in. I wasn't able to review the packet yet in its entirety, but in their memo it states that by making the borough a Second Amendment sanctuary, that would prevent any local funds or resources used to restrict or aid restriction of rights under the Second Amendment. So it appears that by us declaring that we wouldn't be able to use any, their goal would be that no local funds or resources could be used to restrict those Second Amendment rights.
Okay, thank you. And it looks like there is someone on, Greg's online too. Is that Greg Collins?
Yes, this is Greg. I'm out at Fritz Creek, and I'm all for Second Amendment rights, but just recently, within the last 10 days, I had a bullet go through one of my windows, and I have two neighbors that live fairly close to me in the Fritz Creek area, and they've had bullets go through the walls of their house. So I'm a responsible gun owner, and I think that if the borough takes up anything to add to the Second Amendment rights, it should be teaching people about gun safety and responsible shooting of a weapon. These weapons are meant to kill, and I filed a police report with the troopers, and the trooper came out and took a look at my window, and where that round entered my window, it was right behind my couch, and so. I'm all for Second Amendment rights, but what we can do to strengthen it and reemphasize to people responsible gun ownership and handling of that weapon is going to be key. And I'll go off the air now, and thank you very much. I'll take the comments off the air. Thank you.
Before you go, you're the president of the local NRA? I lost him.
Hang up and try again.
So, Assembly Member Dunn, would you like to respond to any of that or add to it?
No, I agree with Greg that gun safety is critically important, and that I am a wholehearted supporter of gun safety training. As far as taking an ideological stance on creating a sanctuary in the borough, I'm going to have to learn a lot more about that before I support it.
And President Cooper, would you like to comment on that, on the caller?
I would say the same thing. You know, I have a family of hunters. My son hunts. My late husband was a big hunter. And you know, our gun ownership has a lot of responsibility that goes with that. And we do need to make sure that we are doing education and training. And these young folks that are coming up, teach them the responsibility of having that ownership. Awful lot more to learn as well before I can make a comment on this.
Okay, thanks. And Greg Collins is back. Thanks for calling back in. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're part of the local NRA membership, is that right?
No, I'm not a part of the NRA, but I've received my training as a kid. I used to be a member of the NRA, but there's a faction that is, I think, a little extreme. That's just my personal opinion, but the NRA as an organization, when it comes to training people and making kids marksmen, I completely support that 100%. Some of the political issues that they've taken up, I don't support, but I am a full Second Amendment rights person. I believe everybody should have a right to own a firearm. And that should always be preserved, and it will be. It's in our Constitution, and the Supreme Court has even addressed issues with it. So I just hope that when the borough takes this up, they reemphasize to the president of the NRA and all the members within the borough that we need to be training people more, put the emphasis on training and responsible gun ownership.
Okay, thanks so much for calling back because I misidentified you. You're Greg Sutter.
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you.
Okay, back at it. And I'm interested to find out what would constitute, what the Second Amendment does not already provide. But let's get back to the budget. If you want to, you're welcome to continue this conversation by calling 235-7721 or info@kbbi.org. You can ask any question that's on your mind of your borough assembly members, Willie Dunn and Kelly Cooper. But back to the budget, what kind of work needs to be done? Assemblymember Dunn. What kind of work needs to be done this summer to square the budget with the what may be massive loss of revenue?
No. Yes, it's going to be a big challenge, big challenge. The mayor has proposed a budget, and we have had one public hearing on that. We'll have another one this coming Tuesday. So we've been getting lots of input. The mayor's proposed budget does include an overall reduction. However, the lion's share of that reduction comes from schools. The K-12 schools' proposed budget is, I think, close to $3 million less than what we provided last year, both in the operating budget for schools and in the capital budget. There's been a $1 million cut to the capital budget, about a $2 million cut, actually maybe closer to a $2.5 million cut to the operating budget. The schools will be able to make up some of that difference with their fund balance. However, it's going to be a very challenging time for schools. We thought we were going to be able to fund to the cap this year. In fact, the mayor had made a commitment to funding to the cap until we had this unexpected budget emergency. So the rest of the budget unfortunately includes increases. The mayor has proposed increases in many departments, anywhere from 4% to 7% increases in many departments. The Office of Emergency Management actually is proposed to be increased 13%. So basically, we're going to be spending our savings. And then the mayor has proposed a plan to increase our savings in future years, in out years. Sadly, that his proposal includes a 23% increase in property taxes from 4.7 mils to 5.8 mils.
And a lot of people have already seen those. We went through a whole blanket increase in terms of different sectors, so it's going to go up again.
Well, potentially, yes. It's going to be hard to find places to reduce services. When every time we try to reduce services, we hear an outcry from the public. We've tried to reduce the hours at the landfill. We've tried a number of different things that the public really is not happy with. And then we've explored other revenue options. I sponsored an ordinance to create a tobacco tax, and that failed. I supported a bed tax around the borough, and that failed. So we have not been able to diversify or increase our revenues, and so we're in a tough place where, at least for this year, it looks like we'll be spending down millions of dollars of our savings and then try to build that up in future years with, at least the mayor proposes an increase in property tax. We'll have to see how that goes.
Okay, thank you, Assemblymember Dunn. President Cooper, can you add some to this, add a little bit of perspective to this in terms of what's going to have to happen to the budget?
Sure. I did actually work with the finance director and administration, and philosophically, the mayor and I don't always agree on our budgeting and on our approach, but I knew with the pandemic that we were going to have to look at things a little bit differently, and we certainly could not raise the mill rate this year to try to offset some of those revenue losses. You know, some of the other things that affect our budget is, for example, school bond debt reimbursement. When the legislature and the governor did not provide school bond debt reimbursement in their budget, what that did is they handed us a bill for that amount. So that affects our budget significantly. And then, you know, we have our funds. When we talk about our fund balance, you know, we have that money invested, and we typically do pretty well with that, and that helps with our fund balance. And we're expecting to see a decrease of about $600,000 in our interest revenue alone this year. So all of those pieces and parts are really difficult. When we look at school funding, we typically do fund to the cap. Education is a number one priority for me. With this event, we are coming in, as far as the formula goes, coming in about $2 million less than the cap. And I did reach out to the school district administration and their board and asked for ways that we could both put some skin in the game to get us through this year and look at bringing that back up next year. And they were wonderful to work with. They understand the issues that we're dealing with. We're hopeful that we'll be able to find some resources for CARES Act funding that will fill some of those gaps. And as you know, there's some national legislation by Senator Sullivan to release some of those requirements, reduce some of those requirements for where we can utilize that money for our lost revenue and as well for the school district. And then the only other comment I have is Office of Emergency Management did have an increase. But if you look at what that poor department has been through last year with the fires and then with the flooding and then with the pandemic, they are running on a shoestring, and they have had a difficult year, and they do a critical job for us in the borough. So I do support that increase on there. The service areas, you know, there are lots of needs with the fire and emergency services, Anchor Point, Ketchumack Emergency Services, Nikiski. They all had significant needs that they wanted to have done in their regular budget and not their capital budget, and they had all requested a mill rate increase from the mayor, and the mayor asked them to hold tight this year. I'm not certain where the movement is on a mill rate increase for Anchor Point, because we're also looking at combining a service area for Anchor Point and then Elchick, which is a much larger area, and that would be on the ballot this fall. That's being introduced as well. So we'll have our final amendments on Tuesday, and we'll be voting on the budget then. And we'll just have to see how we can recover some of that. But the sales reduction in sales tax and our interest revenue and those state bills that were cost shifted down to us really do make it difficult this year.
Thank you, Kelly Cooper. I want to, it's last call for call-in questions because we've got about 15 minutes left in the show. And so 235-7721 if you have questions for your borough assembly members. And you can also email questions to info@kbbi.org. And can we, let's start doing some wrapping up here. I'll start with assembly member Dunn. Do you have anything that you're sponsoring or supporting heavily or co-sponsoring that's coming up in the next few meetings? What can people be looking forward to?
Well, yes, I am sponsoring the vote by mail ordinance. So that's the one that I'm focusing on in the near future. I've gotten some feedback, both negative and positive, on that. I just want to remind people that this is not something that we have brought up recently. It's not a response to the pandemic. It's actually interesting that
it was an accessibility issue.
Well, and a year ago when we started addressing this, one of the concerns of not having a vote by mail option was that if there was something that prevented people from getting to the polls, like a fire or an earthquake, that we'd have some problems there. And I didn't think of a pandemic as a problem getting people to the polls, but we've seen that as a problem. So that just points out the need for other options. So So the vote by mail is...
Can you recommend where people can find sourced, peer-reviewed information about vote by mail?
Well, we have a report on our website, and there's a number of references in that report. So you can go to the borough website, and you can search for the Election Stakeholders Group final report, and that in there has information about what that group did. But I believe there are references in there to other sources. But you know, as President Cooper said, the rate of voter fraud is minuscule in mail-in voting, and that seems to be a big concern of people. But the numbers just don't bear it out. So we'll be talking about that more in committee and in our public hearing on Tuesday. So I welcome people to ask those hard questions and to investigate it. But several dozen people have been looking at this over a year now, and it was all conducted at public meetings. We had some public input from people as we were developing this policy, and you know, it's not like we're trying to throw this out at the last minute. It's been a thorough, deliberative process, a very collaborative process with other agencies and the public.
Thank you. Katie's on the line. Katie, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank the folks on the assembly there for all their work and all the meetings. I really appreciate all that work. And one thought I've had is, you know, with our budgets going down, there's going to be a lot of infrastructure that we're not going to be able to afford. And I think a lot of us, like me, who have come up from the lower 48, we just want it to be like where we came from. You know, we want nice football fields, we want swimming pools, we want all this stuff, we want the sports that we grew up with. But as times get tight, and we've seen it during COVID, we have this wonderful outdoors to play in, campgrounds, trails. You know, so I wonder if we could turn our focus, you know, let's not, I guess I'm worried we're going to slash those budgets as we slash the other ones, but we have this resource here, and if we could keep a little bit of money into trails and access and public lands, it's something everybody can do for free, and as, you know, it's going to be very difficult to see some of this other stuff fall by the wayside, but if we could just keep that in mind, that if we can keep things open for people to do for free out in the wonderful outdoors, I would really encourage that. So thank you again for your time.
And thank you, Katie. Assemblymember Dunn, I know that trails and outdoor spaces are, well, I know they're near and dear to everyone's heart in Alaska, but it was your former profession, right?
Yes, I've worked as a park ranger and a wildlife biologist, and I love the outdoors. You know, one of the things that has helped me get through the pandemic with some sanity is getting outdoors every day. It's a very healthy activity, whether bike riding or hiking or running. I'm not much of a runner myself, but I love to bicycle and hike, and getting outdoors is really important. So I wholeheartedly support maintaining our trail infrastructures. The borough doesn't do a lot of that. The borough does have some borough lands that we use are designated for recreational properties. We work very closely with the ski trail, the ski club, and both in Soldotna and in Homer. The shooting ranges are some of those are on borough property. So I
also, isn't that the meditation park in Soldotna?
That's a brand new
borough property.
Yeah, a brand new management agreement we have with a group in Soldotna that is planning to develop a park in a residential area, and it I think it's about 6 or 7 acres, and they're talking about trails and benches and facilities for people to have a quiet place to meditate or to just enjoy the
yes, I
the
think
quiet.
The word they were using in the proposal was contemplation.
Contemplation, that's yeah. A good word for it. Perfect word for it. Yeah. So, so we did support that management agreement, and I looking forward to seeing how that group carries out some of that. I was very supportive of that ordinance. So. So the borough does have some of that. You know, Katie also mentioned the infrastructure, the athletic fields and the swimming pools and things like that that are typically associated with our schools. And that brings up a side issue that there had been a proposal a few months ago to see if the public was willing to support a bond package for schools. We were talking about a $30 million bond package. That is very likely off the table now, just because of our budget situation and the public's need to save money right now. So also, the
schools need, the district's needs will have to be reassessed, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're everything's on the table, so we're going to be looking at things closely, but I don't think we'll be looking at a multi-million, multi-million dollar bond package this year.
And Assembly President Kelly Cooper, the next thing I was hoping to get to is that you are terming out this year. This will be, you've been 6 years on the Assembly. This is the end of your time on the Assembly because of term limits. Right now you're the borough president. Can you take a moment to talk about plan things that you would like to accomplish before your term is up? And look back, and can you name some things that you feel like you accomplished well as during your term on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly?
Thank you, Kathleen. You know, it's been the experience of a lifetime serving on the Assembly, and I won't miss the drives up and down the road, but the work that we've accomplished, the relationships we've developed, I just think the work that the Assembly does is critical. I would say that some of my accomplishments would be giving access to our residents to testify from Homer or Seward. You know, when I got on the Assembly, that option wasn't there. So we worked to develop a process where people can, as long as they have notice, testify. Other issue that I think the one that I'm the most proud of is our safety corridor. I was the co-chair of that work group when we found that the area between Cooper Landing and Hope just didn't have the same level of emergency response that the other areas do. It's a very small community, and their volunteers, when they get called out, were out for like 8 hours. They're an older population, and it was pretty alarming to me on how short we were on that area. So we worked really hard. We were able to get put that corridor in place. It required a statute change. We were able to get a bill introduced and passed in one session, which is unheard of at the state legislature. So now we have that great corridor, and when people are coming on the peninsula, whether it's our residents or whether it's our customers, they can expect the same level of emergency response in that area as they do in any other part of the peninsula, and we were able to up the volunteers in there and do the training. I'm just really proud of that one. And then the, I would say finally, the Anadromous Streams. That act was passed before my time, but there was pressure to water down that act and put some bodies of water, and I fought really hard to keep that intact. Which are really important to me, and that act is not something that's difficult to work with. We have a great group over at the River Center that works with everyone that's applying for permits, and so I'm really proud that we've been able to maintain that Anadromous Streams Act and continue forward with that. And I'm hopeful that we have someone that is going to announce their candidacy soon that is going to have the same passion I do for education. You know, that's a big part of our budget, and our kids and our local community campuses really deserve our support to continue forward. Those kids are going to be the answers to a lot of these issues we're facing.
Right. It's not too late for a person who's interested in serving on the Borough Assembly to declare candidacy. Assembly Member Dunn. Before I call for final comments from both Assembly members, Assembly Member Dunn, can you remind people of the ways in which they have access to their Borough Assembly members? I always like to wrap up with a little bit of a reaching out to let people know how they can be in contact and get their ideas heard.
Sure, absolutely. As an elected official, I have my contact information on the borough website. My telephone number is there. People can call that telephone number directly to speak to me on the telephone. They could also email wdunne@kpb.us. Both of those contact information are on the borough website. As far as contacting the assembly as a whole, we're trying to make it easier and easier to do that. The assembly webpage has contact information. If you want to talk about a specific piece of legislation, you can do that. You can fill in a form. If you want to make a general comment, you can do that by clicking on that button and filling in a form. You can also participate at our meetings. Right now, we're doing the online meetings, so it actually, interestingly, in my mind, makes it easier for residents of the southern Kenai Peninsula to testify online because you don't have to drive up to Soldotna now, and we don't have to arrange to have Homer City Hall open for telephonic communication. You can do that online, and the Borough Assembly website has all that information.
Well, thank you. Also, people should know that at the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly, or the Kenai Peninsula Borough website, the packet that assembly members Dunn and Cooper get is available online so that you can read about what's coming up. You can see the agenda ahead of time. You can read the Ordinance 2029, the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance, if you'd like to see what that's about. And it's time to call for final comments. Assembly member Kelly Cooper, do you have any information, like anything on your list that you had hoped to talk about today that we didn't get to?
The only thing I'd like to talk about generally, well, first of all, you know, we have been doing the Zoom meetings, and as president, I drive up the road and sit in the chambers by myself with the staff. The clerks do an amazing job, and the Zoom platform has been outstanding. We will be doing our meeting on the 2nd, still with that Zoom platform. But on the 16th, we expect to transition back into the assembly members being in the chambers and then a limited amount of people in the audience so we can maintain that physical distancing. But we have found that it was a wonderful platform, and we are working with the Clerk's Department, Administration, IT, to see if there's a way to come up with a hybrid way of doing that that will still allow us to record everything going forward. So I'm looking forward to coming up with some solutions for that. I would ask everyone to stay in tune as we look at what the CARES Act funding is going to look like for the borough, for the schools, for capital projects, for grants, and for funding as we deal with these reduced funding. So that will still, even though the budget's passing on the 2nd, we have lots of work that will be being done from now until the fall at the election on how we're able to access some of those dollars. And I just really appreciate everyone that reaches out, and we hope you'll continue to stay engaged. There's lots of information going on, and when you see our emergency service folks, tell them thank you. They have worked very hard through the pandemic and as well as the fires these last fall, and we're expecting another hot, dry season.
Okay, thank you. Thanks so much for being a guest on the coffee table. Assemblymember Dunn, do you have any final comments?
Well, thank you, Kathleen, for having us on the coffee table. You know, we just barely scratched the surface today on issues, and it's going to be a very difficult time in the next year or two, and we're going to have to make some really difficult decisions on how to fund the services, particularly schools. That takes up a big part of our budget. So I completely, thoroughly support schools and think they need to be funded. It's the best investment we can make in our borough. So looking at revenues, the taxpayers, both property tax and sales tax, fund these services. And sadly, the property tax funding has kind of gone more to the backs of the younger and lower income people because of the senior tax exemption. And we need to just look at the big picture in the long term. So I'm happy to do that for the next couple of years.
This has been the Coffee Table. Thanks to Borough Assembly members Willie Dunn and Kelly Cooper. I'm your host, Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks for your questions, and thanks for listening, Kachemak Bay. You are tuned to listener-supported public radio. This is KBBI Homer, AM 890.